Wow. That's all I can say is wow. What a blessing to think that a God would meet with us. Never because of us, but only in spite of us. What a God we serve. And when you hear Brother Hudson preach that message, I tell you, we could again just close and go home and just fester on and think about what he preached on tonight. Just let it meditate and sit in our system and think about it. I tell you what, that's a word we don't have in churches anymore like we used to, is meditation. We're so amused, we don't muse anymore. And I tell you, I love that quiet time. You can just think and let the Holy Ghost speak to your heart. And I praise the Lord for that. Well, I've just been privileged to be here, honored to be here. And I thank you all for letting me come. And I thank the church for the nice hotel room and all the wonderful meals. I thank the preacher's daughter. Amen. Appreciate her letting me use her vehicle. Miss Fisher, I appreciate that so much. You've been a blessing to me this week. And this church has been a blessing. I want to just, the Lord just laid this on my heart. Of course, I've already said a lot about Brother Fisher and Brother Hudson. But, you know, I have a wife, and I couldn't do what I do without my wife. She's my best friend in the whole world. And I tell you what, you got a good pastor's wife here. Don't you ever forget the preacher's wife, too. And a lot of times we forget that. In fact, I'm not saying this just to, you know, to encourage you to do anything, but I'm at our church a long time ago, we decided to give the preacher's wife a love offering every time they come to our church, too. We give the man of God a love offering, and we give a little check to the preacher's wife, just because a lot of times they get forgotten. And y'all never know the burdens these preachers' wives carry, too. And they love and they support that man of God, and they kind of stand in the shadows, kind of like what you preached about Mary. And the man of God gets a lot of that spotlight and attention, fights a lot of the battles, but boy, we couldn't do it without her, without Bea. I call my wife my babe. She's my baby, and I thank God for her. I've probably talked to her 10 times every day this week, and I just thank God for them. So, Mrs. Hudson and Mrs. Fisher, thank you for being faithful servants and supporting your men as they serve our Savior tonight. And I praise the Lord for that, and I thank God for that. And the Nelson sisters, y'all a blessing. I have thoroughly enjoyed. Your music has blessed my heart. And as a daddy of three daughters, I got one boy, though, at least, praise God. I got one boy. Somebody asked, why didn't you think God gave you another boy? And I said, because my son is four boys in one. He's built just like me, and he acts just like me. And he's got that same hyperactivity, that same ADHD. And my wife says, why couldn't I have a kid that was like me? They're all four like you. And but you've encouraged me. I can't wait to take your CDs home and listen to them and let my daughters look up your YouTube channel. I already looked it up today and enjoyed some of the singing on there. I'll tell you what, that yesterday song, hold on a second. Woo! Glory, man. That yesterday song is good stuff right there. In fact, they might just ought to sing that at the end of the service tonight. I'm just throwing that. I'm not the pastor. That's your decision. But I tell you what, that's a good song right there, amen. God is good, amen. Well, let's go to Revelation chapter 1 this evening. And I want to be respectful of your time. It is 8:40 at this time. I should be done preaching at 9:05, start the invitation. I really believe what I'm going to simply preach on tonight is where it all boils down to this simple thought. And I just can't. There's nothing I can add to what Brother Hudson. He's taken us to the amazing shallows and depths of the Word of God. And by the way, I love both of them, the shallows and the depths. Amen. And he's taught us how to bring them both together. You know, he challenges us on the altar, and then he takes us to such a powerful truth tonight that the altar is the feet of Jesus. Wow, just powerful. I want to thank you, man of God, for blessing this young preacher's heart. And tonight, I tell you, this is the main reason we need revival. This is the main reason why we have to find that altar and walk with God. And so let's stand together and stretch our legs. And I want to be brief and to the point. And I want you to listen very carefully as I preach on this subject that I fear we don't preach on enough in America. And you talk about back in the old days when they did have revival, the men of God preached on this subject more than they do today. And I want you to just look at verse number 1 of Revelation. We'll be in the book of Revelation the whole time, so you'll not have to worry about turning to another portion of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things," I want you to notice the next three words, "that he saw." All right, don't forget those three words, all right? The Bible says in verse 3, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Father, we are grateful to be here this evening. Lord, I've already, my heart is full, and you've been so good to me to bless me with another message of God, and yet from the man of God, and yet, Lord, now I'm accountable. I recognize that. And Holy Ghost, I ask for your help tonight. We need you. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 says. Lord, it doesn't matter who preaches, as long as the who, not a who, but the who is preached. Lord, I pray that you'd stir our hearts. Thank you for what we've had this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The book of Revelation is an amazing book. There's no doubt about that. In fact, the Bible says in Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, that we're blessed if we read. And by the way, it doesn't say read it once. It says readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. It's an amazing book. I did a series on the book of Revelation several years ago at our church, and it took me about 3.5 years to get through it. We started in Revelation chapter 1, went all the way through Revelation chapter 22. And the amazing thing about this book is I probably could start a new series over, and yet there'd be so many different avenues and different messages and different thoughts that the Lord would give to you. The book of Revelation is a unique book for several reasons. And by the way, I read an article one time, I don't know how true it is, but it said that the book of Revelation alone has made more money than all the other books of the Bible put together. When you think about all the movies and all the books that have been written about this, I mean, for example, the Left Behind series, and I'm not trying to be ugly or critical here. I've never read those books. I didn't really need to because I've read this book. I don't need Jerry Jenkins to teach me my doctrine on the rapture and the tribulation. I just don't. The Holy Ghost can teach me that, amen. But it's, just think about all those books that have been written. Think about all the movies that have been made about Revelation and the end of the world. It's a mysterious book to this world. In fact, if you want to strike up a conversation with lost people sometimes, ask them what they think about the book of Revelation. And lost people have, I read an article one time also, lost people read this book more than they do any other book of the Bible, except for the book of John or Psalm 23 or some of those famous chapters. Revelation is a book that really stirs people's attention. Now, let me give you a couple reasons why it's so unique. Number one, it's the most unfulfilled book we have left in our Bible, in our lives today. All right, now listen, don't miss this now. The book of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 1 to chapter 3, of course, there's the seven churches. And then when you get to chapter 4, verse 1, the word church does not appear again until the end of the book of Revelation. And so you have all of chapter 4, all the way down through verse chapter 22, none of that has been fulfilled yet. All of it is prophetic. Now watch this. Don't miss this statement now, okay? Prophecy always becomes history. Help me now. Prophecy will eventually become history. For example, at one time it was prophetic that there'd be a virgin give birth to a perfect son in Bethlehem. That was prophecy, and glory to God tonight, it's history. And by the way, I don't care what the secular theologians say. I don't care what the humanists say. Yes, I said theologians, because a lot of theologians are secular in their thinking. I don't care what they say. My Savior was born in Bethlehem of a virgin. He was sinless, and he's the perfect, darling Son of God. Hallelujah. That's prophecy. Prophecy is being fulfilled before our eyes right now, tonight as we speak, in Israel. At one time, it was prophesied that all Jews would be coming home again. And guess what? Did you realize that right now as we speak, 1,000 Jews a day are leaving the United States of America, moving back to Israel? That's going on right now. Look it up. Study it. I mean, I preached, a friend of mine was sitting in an airport recently, and he said he was talking to a Jewish businessman from New York City, and that man looked at him and said, he said, what are you doing? He goes, I sold all my businesses. I'm a multimillionaire, and I don't know why. I just got to go back to Israel. And my preacher friend told me, he said, I know why. And he said, man, I about had me a spell right there at the airport. I'm telling you, we're getting close. It's exciting. So the book of Revelation is a book that has not been fulfilled. I know there's still some parts of the Old Testament that have not been fulfilled. I know Ezekiel and Daniel has a lot of prophetic things. But as far as the whole book as a whole, Revelation has not been fulfilled. The second thing I want you to notice about the book of Revelation is this. The Bible is historical, doctrinal, and applicable. We understand that. All of this book's for us. But some of the book portions of this book don't apply to me doctrinally. Let me just give you an example. No bacon. Praise God, that's not my doctrine now. I thank God I can eat bacon. Can I get an amen right there? Now, can I make an application from that? Sure I can. But what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's doctrinal, historical, and applicable. David killing Goliath, it's a historical event. And yet we can apply it in preaching. Can I get an amen right there? But the book of Revelation is so unique because it's a book of revelation. It was a vision that took place. The Bible says that the Apostle John was taken to the Isle of Patmos and God gave him that vision. He showed the Apostle John every single thing that was going to take place at the end of this, at the end of everything. And John wrote some things down. And the Bible says he sees these events. And there's times that God says, John, write. There's times he says, don't write. And I'll tell you what, if you want to read some amazing things, you read the book of Revelation. And there's some exciting things that take place in that book. There's some amazing creatures. There's amazing events. And Israel and all the things that take place. Wow, what a book. So those are the two main things I want you to call attention to. But you could do a series on the book of Revelation. We could do a series to where blue in the face. But let's be honest tonight. The book of Revelation points out two simple truths. That when it's all said and done, every single soul is going to spend eternity in one of two places. John tells us here in Revelation chapter 1 verse 3 that he saw this book unfold. You understand what I'm saying? The Bible says again in verse 2, who bear the record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. He saw a future event take place right before his eyes. You say, well, how could he do that? Because he saw something that has not yet happened. Can I tell you something? God is not the I was and I will be. He's always the I am. I think the most complicated thing for me to understand about heaven, there's lots of things I won't understand about heaven, but one is this, there is no time in heaven. The absence of time. Clocks tell us, the clock is the greatest boss in this universe. Did you know that? It tells us where to be, what time to go, what time to start, what time to end, what time to go to bed, what time to wake up. In heaven, there'll be none of that. God's not an I was or I will be. He's just I am. He's I am yesterday. He's I am today. He's I am tomorrow. He's just I am. Boy, that'll preach right there. Thank God for that. So God just said, here, John, let me just pick you up and show you the future, and I'll just put you right back. John saw this revelation. All right, now let's go to Revelation chapter 20 this evening. And let me give you a couple quick thoughts, and I'll be done. Revelation chapter 20, in verse number 10, the Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast like a fire. By the way, let me just throw this out. Nobody ever really decides to go to hell. They're deceived to hell. You make a decision to get saved, praise God, but if you die and go to hell, you'll be deceived into hell. You'll be deceived by your own thoughts, by your own religion. Brother Hudson already mentioned that a little while ago about all the things the world thinks they got to do, I got to do. They're going to be deceived on their way to hell. And the devil is the master of deception. And the only anecdote for deception is one simple word, truth, praise God. The truth apologizes to no man. Can I get an amen right there? And praise God, the truth and the knowledge of it, hallelujah, shall set you free. And if the Son make you free, praise God, you're free indeed. Boy, I love that word, freedom, praise God. So he says the devil that was deceived was cast like a fire. By the way, if you go to hell, I don't care if you're watching on the internet, if you'll hear it later, if you go to hell, you're going to hell with the devil forever. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? People tell me sometimes, hell's going to be a big old party. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what you think, isn't it? And the Bible says that there's a devil that deceived him. He'll be cast like a fire. Let me just say real quickly. Hold on, let's go preach the devil again, just real quick. I'm sorry. But pardon me for just a second, okay? Hey, he's still sitting over there. And Justin Bieber's gone. Elvis is singing. Remember, he's still alive, praise God. Elvis is singing for the devil over there. Hey, devil, you're going to like a fire someday. Whoa, glory to God. Did you know that? He's going to get thrown away forever. By the way, I can't wait to see Jesus take Satan himself and cast him into the lake of fire. I'm going to shout and glorify God for that. Eh? That will happen someday. But now watch this. Look at verse. By the way, the beast and the false prophet, they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Look at verse 11. And I what? We've already established that he saw this book. Look at verse 11 again. Help me now. And I what? And I what? John said, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. In verse 12, and I what? And I what? Saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, I don't care what anybody says tonight. I don't care even what famous evangelists and preachers have said. There is a literal hell that burns with fire and will never really have revival until we believe in hell and live like we believe in hell. Too many Christians today say they believe it. But like Brother Hutchins said, they're sitting there strapped down and they don't have the opportunity to do something for God. Well, here's your opportunity tonight, church. Let's believe there's a hell again. Let's believe that it burns with fire. Let's believe that people without Jesus Christ are going to this place called hell. By the way, tonight, if you're not saved, you are on your way to hell. America used to be a country that preached on hell. Preachers used to attack the subject of hell. I've read about the old time revivals. They didn't get up and entertain. They didn't give up and give you church growth methods like many of the conferences of America did. The old timers got up and they preached on hell on Monday night. And they preached on hell on Tuesday night. And they preached on hell on Wednesday night. And I've read articles about churches growing from 200 to 2,000 after 6-week campaigns. Wow! Did they have a great music program? Did they have a great sewing program? No! They preached on hell! Do we really believe in hell? We don't. By the way, I'll end this message on a very positive note. But think about it tonight, church. There's a hell. Here's the title of the message. If John saw this, what did John see happen to you? What did John see happen to you? You say, "Oh, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Praise God." And what did John see happen to your mom? What did John see happen to your dad, your brother, your sister, your neighbor, your coworker? What did John see happen to our president, our governors, our leaders? What did John see happen to that cashier you see every time you go to Walmart? What did John see happen to your coworkers and your co-laborers? What did John see happen to the people that visited this church this past Sunday? I'm telling you, John saw this event take place. He may not have remembered every single face, but John saw every single soul that died without Jesus Christ, and John sees them because the Bible says there's death and hell. I believe right now that sinners, when they die, they go to this place called hell, and it's like a jail house. Just like if you break the law, you go to jail. Then you stand before the judge, and the judge sends you to prison. There's going to be a day when all sinners will stand before God. They'll stand before this holy, righteous God. And the Bible tells us that John saw this event. He's going to see them judged out of the works and the books and so on. And the Bible says death and hell will be cast in like a fire prison, if you will, where they'll burn and be tormented forever. And it's time that the church believes on that again. You'll be amazed, Brother Hudson, how many times I travel this country and preach on hell and have people come up and say, "Man, I haven't heard a message on hell in a long time." God help the preachers of America again to preach on hell, to remind the church there's a hell, to tell a sinner there's a hell, to believe in ourselves there is a hell. We've got to have revival. Why? Because there's a hell. We've got to have an altar. Why? Because there's a hell. We've got to get to the foot of Jesus. Why? Because there's a hell tonight. There's a real hell tonight. And the church doesn't believe it like they used to. Man, I'm making all kinds of racket. That was my special right there. There's a hell. Oh, I'm sorry. There's a hell. There's a hell. Our own President Abraham Lincoln used to say, "I like to watch a preacher who preaches like he's swatting at bees." There was a time when preachers got in this pulpit and preached on hell. Alexis de Tocqueville, a Frenchman that was sent to the United States of America, toured this country because France couldn't figure out why America was so successful so fast. And he went back to France, and the French leaders said, "What's the difference, Mr. de Tocqueville?" And they said, "Is it because of their education? Is it because of their government? And God blessed us in those areas." He said, "No, it's not because of that. It's when I went to the church house and I saw the pulpits that were flaming with righteousness. That's what made America great." But today we're so worried about our hairstyles in the average Baptist church. We're so worried about our clothes that we're wearing. We're so worried about how we look. We're so worried about how much money we give or how much money we don't give. We're always offended. We're always touchy-feely. If the preacher didn't shake my hand, he didn't say hi to me, she didn't say hi to me. If you believe in hell, you won't worry about that kind of stuff. If you believe in hell, your life will be changed. And John saw hell. Man, I've made a big old mess back here. I'm sorry. There's a real hell. There's a real hell. Man, there's sunglasses in here. There's cigarettes back here. Good one. Good one. Good one, Brother Fisher. There's a hell. Try to imagine that for every waking moment throughout eternity. Your body with the most painful sunburn ever. On top of that, add the pain of your whole frame scalded with boiling water. To this, add the agony of bodily movement. The skin stretches, countless daggers of pain flash through your body. You want to hold still, but the burning from the flames will not allow it. The bubbling brimstone makes you scream. Your hair's on fire. Your feet and hands blister while you gnaw and chew on your tongue, trying to ease the torment. Your throat is raw from screaming and wailing. Spasms of anguish drop into the molten lava. You go under the surface once again, gnashing your teeth. The burning brimstone flows into your mouth, runs down your throat and into your stomach. You literally are on fire inside and outside. You fall in the darkness. You bump into something solid. If only you could stop falling. All of a sudden, you're slipping again. You fall into the bubbling lake while swallowing more burning slime. The odor of fire melting substance nauseates you. Something grabs you in terror. You both begin to gnash and chew on each other in fear. You push the person away and scream for silence. Please, just a drop of water. Please, just a moment of silence. But it never comes. Where's all the parties now? Where's all the liquor, drugs, sex, sin, and dancing now? Where's the dark taverns and gloomy places you once called fun? Oh, haunting by the memories. The memories when you heard the preacher preach about Jesus on the cross. The memories when you heard them sing about a saving grace. I repent now. Can anybody hear me? I repent. It's too late. Please, somebody help me. Wait a minute. Surely this only lasts for a few months. Maybe I can take it for a few years. All of a sudden it dawns on you that you're to burn in a place called hell forever. You scream out, no! It's real. It's real. It's real, my friend. It's so real. Sitting there just a while ago thinking, all the Nelson sisters were singing about how their mom and daddy's in heaven. As soon as I thought that, I thought, how many people are in hell tonight? I'm telling you, the old timers had it right. They preached some basic doctrines. Calvary, hell, repentance. The country was a lot better. We've gotten a whole lot smarter than God, haven't we? Jesus talked about hell. Jesus preached on hell. Luke chapter 16 is not a parable because a certain rich man went to hell. It's a true story. By the way, Lazarus has a name. When you go to heaven, you have a name. When you go to hell, you're just a certain person. Mr. Bill Gates may be the wealthiest man in the world right now, but if he's never been to Calvary, he will die and go to hell. My friend, I don't care if this is the Wednesday night crowd. I never assume everybody's saved. If you're not sure of your salvation tonight, I'm not here to cast doubt on your salvation because you're either one of two things tonight. You're either saved or you're not saved. But if you're not sure you're saved tonight, you need to get it settled tonight. There's a hell. There's a hell. What did John see happen to you? But let me point something else out tonight because that's not all John saw. Because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21, the same John that saw the great judgment and the great white throne, he talks about another vision he has. He talks about seeing a different place right now. Boy, I feel like preaching right now. In verse 1, he says, and I saw a new heaven. Hallelujah. He says, I saw a new heaven. Praise God. And a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. And I, John, what's the next word? Saw. Say it again. Saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. What are you saying, preacher? John saw a place called hell, but John also saw a place called heaven, a place of pearly gates,
a place of golden streets, a place of no more cancer, a place of no more sin, a place of no more death, a place of no more devil, but most of all, a place where Jesus is, where Jesus will be forever, where he sits on the throne, where he's King of kings and the Lord of lords. We don't need the sun no more, because the Lamb will be the light thereof. All the nations will walk in the streets of gold. It's going to be a wonderful place. My daddy's deaf tonight. He's never heard sound. But someday my daddy will hear Jesus' voice. He'll hear the angels sing. And then he's going to sing a song the angels can't sing. Can I tell you something, my friend? Heaven is just as real as hell. And it's a place we're going to go someday. If we've been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, thank God for heaven. Hallelujah. That's where the crown will praise God. Hey, thank God for heaven. John saw both of these places. He saw them. Just in case you're wondering, he never mentions purgatory. He never sees a purgatory. He goes straight from seeing the vision of hell to the vision of heaven. And then the Bible ends. And that's it. No more revelations to us after Revelation 22, verse 21. Last word is amen. So be it. Agreed. John saw it. My wife has a testimony of salvation. It's beautiful. And I trust she's going to heaven someday. She's a very spiritual lady. My four children have been saved. Thank God for that. But I can't tell you I know they're going to heaven because of what they said. I can only tell you about me. I know when John saw heaven and John saw hell, he saw Randy Dignan walking on streets of gold. Not because of anything I've done. I was sprinkled as a baby. I was baptized 3 times growing up. I even went to a charismatic church one time, and I was so scared of death. I went to the altar because I was just so tenderhearted. I said, what do I do? I was a 16-year-old football star, and they called a big 400-pound woman. She laid on top of me and prayed for me to get the Holy Ghost. I was afraid of the Holy Ghost for a long time after that. I was trusted in my baptisms. I was trusted in my church membership. I was trusted in somebody praying for me. But one day, hallelujah, Jesus came to where I was. He showed me I was a sinner. He showed me that he died for me. He showed me that he lived again. And he saved my soul. I'm going to heaven someday because I'm a saved, born again child of the King. Hallelujah. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to heaven because I'm religious. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a good person. I'm going to heaven because I've been to Calvary, Brother Hudson. I've been to Calvary. Been to Calvary. John saw hell. John saw heaven. What did John see happen to you? What did John see happen? I'm saved, preacher. Praise God. What about your mom, your dad? Your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle, your grandma, your grandpa, your neighbors. You're right. This building needs to be full. My building needs to be full. All the church's buildings need to be full. America fills arenas. Americans pay $50 to $60 to $100 a ticket for a ball game. They pay $20 to park. They pay $10 for one cup of beer. They pay $5 for a nasty hot dog. Why do they do that? Because they believe in their team more than they believe in God. And they won't come and sit in church. Sometimes we just, man, we're going to go out. It's there. No, I'll tell you what the problem is. We ain't preaching on hell anymore. Mr. Obama needs to hear this message on hell. Senator Ted Cruz stood. How many of you heard about what Ted Cruz did in the last? Your senator stood up against Obamacare for 21 hours. He took the podium at 2:40 yesterday afternoon and didn't get off till 12 o'clock today in Washington, D.C. He took a stand. He read Green Eggs and Ham. Did you know that? He read Dr. Seuss. I wish he'd have said something about hell. I wish he'd have said, forget about Obamacare. How about where you're going to go when you die someday? I'm tired of these phony chaplains in D.C. now. They read their pre-written prayers and nobody's got enough power of the God. I mean, most preachers ain't got enough guts to make a splat on a windshield if they're a bug. Ain't got no power of God in their life. We're just going to tell you how to have a good day. We're just going to tell you this lie of the self-esteem. You go to the average Christian bookstore and there's shelves full of it. How to be a better you. How to have self-esteem. Can I tell you something? There's nothing about me that I can esteem. But oh, what's good about me is the Holy Ghost of God. He's inside of me. I deserve hell. I am a zero with the ring rubbed out. But God in His love and God in His mercy, He saved my soul. Hallelujah. He saved my soul. He saved my soul. Sat on the airplane Monday morning to fly down here. I always look for an opportunity to witness or pass out tracts. And I got the opportunity. I got to give a tract to the person sitting next to me. Why? Because John saw that person somewhere. John sees all these people that drove by this church tonight. John sees all the people that live in this area, that work in this city. John saw all these people go to one or two places. What did John see happen to you? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you so much. All right, at 9:07, I'm done. I told you I'd be done pretty quick. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I want to just ask you a simple question tonight. I know I preached a little hard, but we need it. I needed it. I preached to myself tonight. Let me ask you an honest question tonight. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Where did John see you